nanohub.org.
Online simulation and more for nanotechnology.
Let's start with between DCIV and charge pumping method, which one is easier and why?
It will be a little difficult to answer which one is easier, but there is slight difference between two methods. For one case, for charge pumping method, source in voltage was zero. But for DCIV method, source in voltage was not zero.
No, true. But you know, if you have a source meter, you can put whatever voltage you want. That is not difficult. Which one do you think would require maybe more complicated instrumentation?
I think charge pumping method will become more complicated.
Yes, because you need a pulse generator. You need a pulse generator with the ability to have a precise plateau and then also being able to control the transition time. In the DCIV method, you just have the voltage. You don't really worry about how fast you went there or how slow it went there. Remember, these are all under computer control and these programs are all available. It's like MATLAB routines these days. So therefore, once you know how to use it, you just copy it down and use it in your system. The Keithley many times will come preloaded. So therefore, once you know the theory, it's actually very simple. You don't have to worry about how do I set up all those things. You can just do it on the computer screen. There's rise time, fall time. These are relatively easy. In what ways are charge pumping and CV method better at characterizing traps compared to CV method? Who wants to answer this question? Maybe you can.
CV is Bayesian distribution of the traps.
That's right. CV, you could not do that, right? Spatial distribution can be obtained. Can you think of one more? What about you? What's your name?
Arun?
Arun. Okay, Arun. So, what do you think could be another thing that is CV is a little bit more susceptible to? Anyone? Trapping, right? Bulk trapping is more susceptible. How so? Because you see, the delta VT has this COX, right? But not COX, epsilon. It has this X rho X dx, right? 0 to TOX. And then I have, what do I have? I have kappa OX. So you can see if you have any bulk traps, they will contribute linearly into this. In contrast, when you're doing charge pumping, bulk trap can still contribute because, as I just showed in the multi-frequency charge pumping case, that electrons can go inside and then they can come back. But you can see going probability inside in a band structure like this is exponentially suppressed, further getting out. So therefore, this would be much more susceptible to bulk trapping than this one, especially if you keep your frequency high, then you will not allow enough time for them to get in. So interfacial defects are better interpreted this way. Does it make sense? Which one, in this regard, which one would be, if you really wanted just interfacial traps, which one would be the best? Just interfacial trap, DCIV and between charge pumping? High frequency is certainly good, but just the DCIV is the best because the voltage in DCIV is so small and your gate is at what voltage during DCIV? Typically, during DCIV?
Zero
volt, right? During DCIV, remember, we just forward bias the body. So this is at 0 volt. Tunneling would be even more suppressed because at 0 volt, nothing is getting in. So therefore, DCIV would be the best in terms of looking at the interfacial traps. What are the problems with using NBTI measurement?
The NBTI has the relaxation.
That's right. So anything that relaxes, these are not good methods. Takes a lot of time, right, in order to measure this. Lot meaning, when I say lot, I mean 20 seconds or 30 seconds is a lot. So this is what we are talking about. What method would you use to determine density of mid-gap state?
I have a question about the relaxation problem.
Yes.
We said that this time is a lot of 20 or 30 seconds, or like we should compare between the measurement time and the stress time.
That's right.
Because if the measurement time is much smaller than the stress time, in this case, we could resolve the problem.
That's right. That's right. You have a very good point. He is exactly right, that if the measurement time is small compared to the stress time, then 20, 30 seconds, he's saying there's no absolute value, right? What the issue is that, remember, the early part is the most dangerous. And the early part, because that pivots the whole curve. And the early part, I'm just doing milliseconds some amount of stress. And so that is what the trouble is. Right? What method do you use? Density of mid-gap states? This would be primarily? Both. DCIV, I can do it. And charge pumping, both would be fine. Charge pumping frequency has to be kept in a probe interface trap. Can you explain why?
Because of the power defense.
That if you allow more time,
they can go.
Right. And how far it will, like if you have megahertz and kilohertz, three orders of magnitude, even in that case, this would be on the order of maybe 1 or 2 nanometer. It will not go any farther. Because it's logarithmically dependent, because tunneling is exponential. Tunneling time is exponentially dependent on how far you go. Why can you not use classical charge pumping for SOI devices? No, you.
Me?
Yes. Well, first of all, do you know what is the SOI?
I know.
What is it, SOI?
Silicon,
silicon on insulator.
Yeah.
How many terminals does it have? Yes,
okay.
Source, drain, and gate. What it doesn't have?
Body.
Body. And so therefore, can you do charge pumping?
No.
You see, the current was coming in from the source drain, recombining and getting out through the substrate. That's critical for charge pumping, right? If there is no path for the electrons to go, if everybody came in from source and drain, went out through source and drain, my emitter will not know any difference. My emitter will say current is zero. My average current is zero. The only reason there is a current flow is because electron is coming from the source and drain, and my emitter is looking at how many came in, how many returned. It sees a difference. And so either in the substrate contact or in the source drain contact, my emitter will give a signal. If I cut off the substrate, then everybody will return to the source and drain. And so therefore I have no current, right? So how do they do that? That's very beautiful. I will end the class with that. So you see, you can create something called a virtual body. So this is what they do. So I don't have any substrate, right? I don't have any substrate. This is the SOI. I have source and drain. So what they do is very clever. What they do is that they put a big pulse on the drain. What will happen from the information or the things that you have learned about hot carrier? When you put a large drain bias, what happens?
Hot,
and then two types of currents are generated. What current? There is something called the thermometer. What was the thermometer?
The substrate current.
Substrate current. You remember substrate current, right? So there will be substrate current. Now the electron current will of course be there, but the electron current are getting out of here. No problem. Now you just generated a bunch of substrate current. Initially, in the normal hot carrier case, this one went out and gave me the information about how hot the electrons were. I don't have it anywhere. Where will they go? They will go underneath the channel because they have no other place to go. Right? So now...
Underneath the channel or means the channel?
Pardon me?
underneath the channel?
Yeah, because the potential is such that generally it could be anywhere. It could be in principle anywhere. But you see, when this gate will be such that it wants it to accumulate, all these holes will be close by, right? Now what will happen? The electron current will come in. A fraction of them will return. In inversion, electron current will rush in. And when you're trying to go to the accumulation, a fraction of them return, the remaining fraction will recombine with these holes. And so therefore, if you put an ammeter here, you will notice a difference because not everybody returned. Right? Or you can look at the evolution of the threshold voltage here. That will also do it. Because you see, as far as this channel is concerned, it doesn't care where the hole came from. Hole could be coming from the substrate. Hole could be coming from anywhere. If you can drop some holes there, that's also fine. All it cares about is it has holes. And so this is called a transient charge pumping method. So the pulse is a substitute for the substrate current. So although you didn't have that contact, you made an quote-unquote virtual substrate contact by pumping it. And then you can do all the classical charge. This is more difficult to interpret. It's not as well established. But you understand this, right? People are very clever. So about how to do these things. Is this concept clear?